Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone. This is B&K Bible Break, and we're live on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to say good evening to everyone. Good evening, and I'm glad that you can join us on another episode of B&K Bible Break. We're, again, happy, blessed, and just want to give the Lord all praises and glory on this evening. Hopefully you had a great weekend, and you had a great start of your week. If you haven't, then maybe we can give you a fresh word that can change everything around. And again, hopefully you just be blessed by listening to what we have for you on this evening. I want to introduce my co-host, Ms. Kay. Good evening, Kay. I thought
good
you were going to start us off.
Well, I am, but you usually do this part.
Oh, this is what I thought you were getting ready to do. But that's okay. Since we're on here, I just want to say welcome you to the broadcast tonight. Also, I just want to thank again everyone that listens in on every Monday night. You don't know how much it's a blessing, and it really is a blessing. And just the encouragement and encouraging words that we get, we just want to say thank you. We wasn't on last Monday because it was the 4th of July. Hopefully everyone had a good 4th. And we took some time off. We had celebrated our wedding anniversary on last Thursday, on the 7th of July. So, again, we got a lot going on, and we'll be getting ready to leave in a couple of days to go on vacation. We're taking the grandkids to Disney, so pray for us. Pray for our pockets and everything else. But we planned on it. We're looking forward to it. We are definitely on countdown mode. So we got a great show for you on tonight. And I'm going to turn everything over to my lovely wife, and she's going to carry your show. And I will be adding some other comments and some other news and everything else that's going on. But, again, thank everyone for tuning in to Blog Talk. Whether you're online, www.blogtalkradio, Chaos Talk with Derek Oliver is the website. And the phone number is 845-277-9094. Thank you. So wife is in your hands.
All right. Father God, in the name of Jesus, we come to you this evening. First of all, just want to thank you for everything that you're doing and everything that you plan to do, things that we're unaware of. We thank you in advance. Thank you for your loving arms of protection. Thank you for just keeping everyone safe and covered under your blood. Lord, we ask that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight. Lord, we thank you for being our strength. We thank you for being our redeemer. Ask that you hide us behind you. Let what we do be a reflection of you. Remove us and increase your spirit. Let your spirit shine through in Jesus' name. All right, so tonight we're going to be talking about I forgot my subject. Have you been leaning? Have you been leaning? So I had asked my husband that yesterday about leaning. When I say leaning, what comes to mind? And he immediately went to Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. And that's where I was going. At the same time, I'm like, you know, that there's a song, whose side are you leaning on? I'm leaning on the Lord's side. So I'm praying that everybody under the sound of my voice is leaning on the Lord's side. But tonight we will be going into a little bit of detail on Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. And I'm sure everybody knows this scripture by heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. So by me saying that, and I knew that scripture is where I wanted to go, you know, all morning, you know, I was studying and trying to get everything together, and I had just, I wrote some scriptures down, and then I just started writing after that. And then what do you know, a little bit before the show was about to air, in my brain, my thinking, I'm saying, that don't make sense. What did you write? Like, I'm second-guessing myself off of the things that I wrote down that I wanted to discuss. And I'm like, you know what? This is the Lord. The Lord gave me what to write down. So I'm just going to let the Lord do what he's going to do and get out of my head. Because if it was left up to me, I'd be like, we may need to do something else, because I don't think I, you know, studied enough, or I wrote enough stuff down, or I got enough to talk about. You know, I get caught up in my way of thinking. And I tend to do that on different avenues. I'll be going one direction, and I know I'm going the right direction, and then I'll be like, well, is that right? Am I doing that right? Okay, if the Lord told you to do it, then you're doing it right. So follow what the Lord is letting you do. Just let it flow. Amen, Sister Kenya, just let it flow. So I'm going to go into the way the Lord gave it to me. I pray that you can receive it. I pray that you can understand where I'm going with this. So I'm just going to give it to you the way it was given to me. So we're talking about I don't know why this subject is like, it's not flowing in my brain right, but have you been leaning? That's what we're talking about. Have you been leaning? And, you know, as children, we learn by listening to adults. You know, little kids, you got to listen to somebody that's older than you because they need guidance. Our job is to train them. So they have to listen and follow our guidance because we want the best for them. We want to make sure that they don't get in any type of danger. A lot of the times we say, make sure you tie your shoes because you don't want them to trip and fall, bump their head or anything like that. Make sure before you cross the street that you're looking. Don't touch that because that's hot. You know, don't touch the door because you're not supposed to go out the door. You know, we make sure the doors are locked. We have the little things on the cabinets where the kids can't get into the cleaning supplies. And we put things up high that may harm them. So we do a lot of things to protect children. And we teach them along the way the do's and the don'ts. So as they're younger, they're not, if they get caught up in their, I don't want to say their own understanding because they're kids, they're little. They may not understand. They don't know how to articulate. They don't know how to put things into the proper context to understand what they're trying to say. So it's our job to assist them with their development to get them, you know, along the way and to protect them from harm. That's our main goal. Every time, well, this is me, when I look at a little person, and I'm looking at them, all I see is possibilities. Like, you just don't know who you could become. And I just see possibilities in children, and they're like a joy to me. So I don't care if it's a child in the checkout line. I was playing with a little child at Walmart in customer service. It doesn't matter. To me, they're all precious, and they're all at a learning stage. And it's up to us to do the job, to teach them not to do what can harm them. So that's the little children. And then I was thinking about the teenagers. You know, a lot of the teenagers, you got some in your house, you raise some, you know how it goes. They know everything. And anything that someone tries to tell them or advise them, they feel like you know, they got this. They know what they're doing, and we don't know nothing, and, like, we ain't been there, we ain't done that. Everything that they're doing is brand new, and we just don't understand what's going on. So they tend to lean more towards their friends and their friends' understanding of things. If their friends say, no, do it this way, or I did it that way, and it worked for me, they're going to lean to their friends' understanding more than they are going to lean to a parent's understanding, especially if they're trying to fit in with their friends or do something they know they ain't got no business doing that's going to go against what their parents are saying. They're leaning to the understanding of whatever comes to their mind or whatever their friends is, you know, steering them to do. Some kids listen to their parents, and God bless those whose kids do that. I don't have kids that do that because they like to do their own thing, and they have to learn the hard way. And, you know, when we do things or the wrong way, or we make situations worse because we don't follow instruction because we think we know it all. And a lot of teenagers do that. And then the next group is going to be the young adults. Young adults, they listen somewhat to wisdom from, you know, from older people if they're really trying to learn. Like, you do have some young adults who have a desire to learn because they don't want to make mistakes and they don't want to do things the wrong way. And a lot of them think they can do it better than their parents. They're like, oh, you know, they tend to just think that they can do it better. That's, and of course you want your child to do better than you, but not where it's like they're telling you what you're telling them is wrong. When you're trying to warn them, like, look, I've been here, I've done that, I'm telling you, don't do it that way. They don't want to listen. So they're leaning to their own understanding, or they're going to Google it. They Google everything. Google is like the answer for anybody's problem, as far as young adults, teenagers, even grown, the mature people, they're Googling. Everything is just Google. We have a lot of Google doctors out there. They diagnose you based off of what they found on Google. It's like, okay, you need to listen to somebody who has some wisdom. Put the phone down. And it's a lot of people in our churches and our communities that do have wisdom. And what I feel bad about is that it's so many people, and we're not tapping into the knowledge and the wisdom that they have. And we could not be making a lot of the errors that we make if we would just listen. There's a scripture that's Proverbs 11:14. It says, where there is no guidance, a people falls, but an abundance of counselors, there is safety. We all need somebody that has that wisdom and knowledge, but we have to listen. We have to get out of our own head thinking that we know everything or we're just going to do it our way, when the Lord is already, he already has people available to assist you with what you need. And Proverbs 15:22 says, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. So it's important that, you know, you got people out here, they're entrepreneurs, or they're doing a profession that you're interested in, and they're out here for you to ask questions. And me, I'm guilty. It seems like, you know, I want to ask questions, and I'll ask questions, but I won't go any deeper because it's like, I don't want to keep asking them. And it's like when you do ask, it's like they give you as little information as possible. And it's like, but you're not telling me how. How are you doing it? You're just telling me, oh, go here and do this. Well, how are you doing it? Explain it. I need childlike for you to talk to me like I'm a child. Tell me step by step what to do, because my understanding doesn't work fully at all times. I may need some guidance. I may need you to tell me, hey, do it this way, do it that way, and walk me through it. I'm a hands-on person. Walk me through it. Show me how to do it. Don't just tell me. And so with the young adults, it's kind of like they don't really want you to show them how to do it. They just want to figure it out on their own. And with that type of situation, you know, it takes the Spirit of the Lord to intervene on a lot of people's behalf. As far as the mature people, now I'm talking about mature Christians. You know, we look back over the things that we've done, whether they're good, bad, and we realize that outside of Christ, we can't do anything. Nothing works outside of Christ. You may think it's going to work, but if you're not seeking Christ to ask him daily, the choices that you make, the decisions that you make, you're subject to fail if you're not seeking Christ. Every day you should be asking the Spirit of the Lord to lead you, to guide you, to show you, to direct your path, just like we said in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. But you have to trust that he will do that. I have a lot of things that I have lined up now, and I'm like, I don't know which direction to go. And sometimes it's like I just don't move because I'm like, okay, the Lord didn't tell me to do that yet. And a lot of times I just go, and the Lord just happens to have, I don't care if it's somebody in the store, may make a comment or what, he always has somebody that's right on time to lead and guide on where you need to go. If you are trusting him, if you are putting it in his hand and not trying to figure it out yourself. And a lot of the times when we try to figure it out ourselves, you know what? We find ourselves being anxious, fearful, doubtful, and even at times angry. And if you find yourself in that state, you know, whose side are you? Who are you leaning on at that point? You're not leaning on the Lord at that point. You're leaning on yourself and your own knowledge and your own understanding. So it's important that we recognize, okay, let me get myself together. It's not the road that I'm supposed to be going down. The Lord has not given me the spirit of fear. So why am I going down this road? That's not of the Lord. So we have to redirect our thoughts. And I believe me and my husband was talking last night. There's a scripture, I believe it's Isaiah 26:3. It says that he'll keep you in perfect peace. You keep your mind stayed on him. And we were talking about that, and I'm like, the key is you have to keep your mind stayed on him. So a lot of the times we get off point because our focus is not on the Lord. We're doing our own thing. And when you notice that you're drifting and you're doing your own thing, and it's like, hold on, let me pull back. Is the Lord telling me to do this, or is this me telling me to do this? You know, we will never fully understand why the Lord allows certain things or certain things not to happen. But we got to trust that he knows. So if you're going down a path and you're like, Lord, I don't know why this is happening. I don't know what's going on. I don't understand why this is going on. And when you don't know and when you can't understand, when you don't like what's going on, it's important that you just continue to trust God. Look for scriptures to continue to let you know the Lord is there. He doesn't change. We may change. We get attitudes. One day we might be all cheerful and joyful, and then the next day we may be in a funk. I mean, we go through different types of emotions, and when you find yourself doing that, you got to know, hold on, this is not God. Let me get it together. And a lot of the times we talk to ourselves. We talk and we talk and we talk, and we can talk ourselves into a depression. And it's like, okay, because we're not talking to God, we're talking to ourselves. So we need to lean on him and not so much how we feel, because, you know, we are so emotional. It's about our feelings. We in the era of you do you and all of that. And if it don't feel right, don't do it. And if it feels good, do it. You know, we all into our feelings. But we need to be seeking the Lord, asking him what he wants us to do to keep ourselves together. Our husband, I'm going to let you talk.
Thank you. No, what you're saying is on point. What you're saying is on point. There's a couple of things I want to piggyback on. When you started the show, you were like, you were doubting whether the Lord prepared you. And when you teach for a long period of time or preach for a long period of time, every preacher, every teacher goes through, I'm not prepared before you get ready. That's just nerves, and it's the devil trying to mess with you and break you down. But like you said, sometimes you can talk yourself right out of a blessing. And this last scripture you just read about, you know, he will protect our peace. And I just heard this the other day. We're trying to protect our peace, but that's not what the scripture says. We want to protect our peace. We want to guard ourselves from people. We want to guard ourselves from family members, church members. We want to guard our peace. We don't want nothing to interrupt our peace. And the more we try to guard our peace, we're going totally against what the scripture you just said. Right? He's going to protect our peace. A lot of times something will come up that's uncomfortable. It's not going to disturb your peace because it's going to want you to do ministry. And if you've been putting in the work in, and if you are a believer, you can't have your peace disrupted. There are going to be situations that's going to try to disrupt it, but if your mind is on the Lord and you're trusting in the Lord, he's going to protect your peace. But he did not say that everything was going to be rosy. He did not say everything was going to be sunny. But at the same time, ministry is what we're supposed to be doing. And if we allow ourselves to try to protect our peace, if we allow ourselves to try to fight the battles, we're doing the Lord's work and we're out of his will. This is why a lot of people are stressed out, because they're trying to do everything themselves instead of leaning onto the Lord. And if you lean onto the Lord, it's not going to be easy and it's not going to be pretty. And whoever told you it's going to be easy and pretty lied to you. It is not, but he will keep you in perfect peace. And me and you are a witness to that, because we have went through some hellish times, but our peace was not interrupted. And then again, our peace was interrupted is when we try to protect our peace. And you know, at least I hope you can know and identify those situations. But when you just allow and you start doing what the Lord tells you to do, he will give you perfect peace. And I was running late to get to the show today, and I had to and I'm going to make this announcement a little bit later, but we had someone call us that needed some groceries. So I had to run to the grocery store, and I saw a little bad boy in the grocery store. And he was just running around, and I don't know where his parents was, but he was just running around, and he had on a pair of shoes. And I got this right there in the store. See, I was doing ministry, but the Lord gave me a sermon, because I was watching a little boy, and I knew what we were talking about, running around the store, and he had just got some new shoes. And he had the shoes that light up. So he was walking and wanted you to comment on his shoes, because they lit up on the bottom. And what I liked about him is he was trying to get my attention. So I said, I like your shoes. And he said, yeah, I just got them. But he said something to me from a little kid. So this is sometimes you got to listen, and you can't just ignore little kids all the time. He said they light up better in the dark. So you got to understand something, because when he gave me, his shoes light up better in the dark. You know, Jesus is the light of the world. We live in dark places. And if the shoes you're wearing, if they're not lighting up, you're not going to have peace. You're not going to be able to lean on to him, because you can't connect with him, because you cannot identify with his light. So what you have to understand is you have to be in his perfect will of God. You have to lean unto him and not unto your own circumstances. I'm the biggest person that's guilty, because I try to do everything myself, and I won't allow him to do what he said he was going to do. And since he's allowing me to do it, my peace is interrupted. I'm leaning into my own knowledge, so half the time I sound foolish, because what I'm talking, even though I may be quoting scripture, is not correct. It's not being used incorrect, and I'm leaning into my own understanding. It may be right to me, but it ain't right to nobody else. This is why we stress ourselves out. We don't really, because we're really not truly dedicated ourselves to trust in him. And I believe you read the scriptures earlier in Proverbs. You know, we have to lean onto his understanding, and we can't try to protect our peace. I'm sorry, if you think that you can protect your peace, you are wrong. You won't have a good night's sleep if you think you're doing it. He said he's going to protect it. And the way he's going to protect it is you have to lean on to him, and he will give you that perfect peace. You can't hold on to it. It's not your job to hold on to it. And again, when I saw that little boy, you can only appreciate the light in the darkness. So sometimes when you go up on hard times and hard times are hitting you, okay, who are you leaning on? Are you going to listen to everybody over here to tell you to go right? Or are you going to lean to the Lord that's going to maybe tell you something a little different? And that's just my two cents on it. I'm not a novice at this. I messed up plenty of times doing things my way. But when you do it your way, like I said, your peace is messed up. Your understanding is messed up. And he'll allow you to go season after season after season trying to do it your way. He's just waiting for you to let him fix it. You got a problem with your kids? Soon as you turn them over to the Lord, soon as you turn them over to the Lord, you'll start getting a good night's rest.
Amen.
Soon as you start being a cheerful giver with your money and your time, he will start giving you the desires of your heart. He will start letting things. You don't know how you're doing certain things. There's certain things that's going on this week. My wife, I don't know how we did it. There's no way but to tell you the Lord allowed certain things to happen, to fall in our lap in order for us to do what we do. And you know, it ain't about being rich, because we're not rich, but we're rich when it comes to spirit, trying to do things the Lord's way. We ain't got everything together, but the stuff that we do have together, he's going to honor us, and he's going to elevate us, and he's going to upgrade us, because we're walking in his light. We're walking in his peace. And when you walk with the Lord, he will upgrade you. And I'm a witness to the upgrade. But you have to surround yourself around people who's being upgraded. Because if you see what they're doing, then it's a tool that you have to do for yourself. Me and my wife got this We're doing extended arms through Praise Tabernacle Church. It's a food ministry. At any given day, at any given time, we can get a phone call, and we have to stop what we're doing to do God's work. Now, I say that, and I don't want to complain about it, but I'm going to show you something. But because we have to stop what we're doing and jump in and do ministry, I don't have time to call anybody. Can you do this? Can you do this? Can you do this? Because sometimes you make all them calls, you could have had it done yourself. But when you're doing ministry, the Lord is going to reward you, maybe not finance, but in other ways. And as I'm going around the grocery store, and it's funny to see me in the grocery store because I don't know what I'm looking for. I'm looking at my phone about to die, wife and text stuff. There's a lot of stuff going on. So I'm getting frustrated. But when I see this little boy, he cheers me up, not just the fact that he was being a child. He was in a child's place, doing what child need to do. And spiritually, the Lord was talking to me through the child by his shoes. Now, that really blessed me, and it made the whole trip worth me going, even almost being late to start this show, for the simple fact we had to meet a need. The need was met from what we were supposed to. And what I'm trying to say is, I'm at peace now because I know that there was a family that was in need. We was able to meet the need without a whole bunch of devilish stuff. And not to me leaning, because if I was leaning under my own understanding, I told my wife, get someone else to do it. I'm busy. I just left work. I ain't got time to go to the store.
Amen.
And then the main insult to everything, the debit card we got for that, for extended arms, it don't even work. So now we got to take money out of our pocket. Now, I'm not saying that. I'm just looking how Derek would have looked at this maybe 6 months ago. I would have been complaining. I would have been making phone calls. But the Lord has blessed us. And it's not even so much what it was, because it wasn't a lot that was spent. But the fact that people who give money is being used, you're going to be blessed. Don't lean on your own understanding, thinking about what we should be doing or could be doing. Just let the fact that you gave to be a part of it as a blessing. Because if you donated cash, we use cash today. If you donated food in the pantry, we use food in the pantry today. So you were a big help in helping a family get food for the week. And yet, because we don't take pictures and we don't give names out, just know that we're in the community doing what we're supposed to do. Don't lean onto what people want us to do and what people want us to say. The only reason I'm bringing it up is I want people to know Extended Arms are still giving food out on a weekly basis. No, we're not always going out passing it out. People call us and we have to go out and deliver it. And when you go out and deliver it, you're doing ministry. When you give money to it, you're doing ministry. When you give food, you're doing ministry. And I hope I'm not getting off the subject too much, but again, you can't lean onto your own understanding.
Let me just add to that. So by the ministries that have blessed Extended Arms, by us, you know, taking the boxes to different people in the community, somebody in this, they didn't live in this household, but they saw what was done. And so they got in touch with somebody and asked, you know, for help. And it's like, that. This to me, this is like, this is what we're supposed to be doing. Meet the needs of the people. It's not about broadcasting or anything like that. Meet the needs of the people. Nobody even has to know about it. Because to me, it's like, okay, the Lord knows who needs it. That's why we say, lean not to your own understanding. It's not about my thoughts like, oh, it's Monday, we got to do a show, we won't have time to do it. No, forget all that. Do what the Lord is telling you to do, and he will always work it out. Lean not to your own understanding. Acknowledge him. He'll work it out. So you got to follow what the Lord is telling you to do. I wanted to add to the scripture that we're doing today, also Psalm 37, 3 and 5. It says, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and feed on his faithfulness. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. Follow what the Lord is telling you to do, no matter what it looks like. You could be literally looking at something with your natural eyes, and everything is telling you one thing, but if the Spirit of the Lord is telling you something else, follow what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. So it's not about what you see, what you hear. Just follow what the Spirit of the Lord is saying. And there is no way that you could ever be smarter than God. You can't take care of yourself better than God. You have no authority outside of God. So everything that you do, seek his guidance. You know, I was reading that scripture, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding, and all your ways acknowledge him and he shall direct your path. And with that, it's like trusting God means, you know, we are resting our knowledge upon the knowledge of God. That's what we're doing. We have to trust him fully to direct our path, wholeheartedly. If you're going to halfway do it, just do it yourself then. I'm like, if you're going to do it, just I think there's some, if you're going to pray about it, don't worry about it. I think that's the saying. Or if you're going to worry about it, don't pray about it. Look, either you're going to let the Lord lead you and guide you, or you're going to do it on your own. It's one or the other.
And you know, we have to stop, and we have to get out of the business of complaining about everything. And I'm gonna send a shout out to the man. I heard something. It was a great quote, and I'm gonna use this quote a lot. And it's praise to all women. And it's gonna be kind of a low blow for the men that I'm gonna say, because, you know, being in ministry, being in leadership, you come across a lot of things, and you know, I'm for real about my ministry. You know, I go hard. I really do. And sometimes I have days I complain. I'm not perfect. My wife will tell you about any means, not perfect, but I do go hard for the ministry. I don't believe that you should. I believe whatever the Lord tells you, you should do it. I don't think it takes a lot of planning, and some people will disagree with me. I don't think it's if you're giving it to you and if you're doing it for the Lord and you're doing it for the right reason and you're doing it from the heart, I don't see how it can be messed up. Unless the Lord wants you to learn lessons from certain things. And certain things are tough. There's such thing as tough love. And even in the ministry, you have to be tough. And one of the, I heard one of my favorite coaches say this, and I'm gonna adopt it into my messages. And this is for all men. You know, I don't want to hear about your labor pains. Just deliver the baby. I'm going to say it again. I don't want to hear about the labor pains. Just deliver the baby. A woman can go through all she got to go through 9 months and deliver a baby. And what the Lord wants to deliver through us men, we complain about it all the time. More men complain about, and I'm talking about pastors, I'm talking about elders, I'm talking about, they just complain about what's not right. And I'm listening to it. And then the other day I heard this coach tell one of his football team, I don't want to hear about the labor pains because they're going to be there. There's going to be some hurt. There's going to be some hard times. There's going to be some things internally that's going to mess you up. There's going to be some people out there that don't like you because you're changing. Just like a woman goes through with her body, she feels like they were looking at her funny. Same thing. I'm talking about the men now because we're called into the ministry to do what? To do work. To birth what? New ministries. To do what? To birth and go out and get new people to follow Christ. This is what we to do. I don't want to hear about the labor pains. Just deliver the baby. In other words, do what God is calling you to do without all the other drama. And when you do that, the only way you can do that is you have to lean on to the Lord. And when you lean on to the Lord and you start looking at what he did and what he went through and what he complained about and what he didn't complain about, it ought to be an example to us that we ought to just be about our Father's business. All day, my wife's telling me that she didn't tell me until I got home I had to go get some groceries, knowing I just came home from work. I didn't want to do it. Now, in my head, I was complaining. I was saying stuff in my head. If it came out, I probably wouldn't be on the show now. I'd probably be somewhere else looking for somewhere to stay. But in my brain, I'm just going off. Why we got to do all this? Where everybody else at? That's what I'm saying. But see, all that complaining I did to myself, the Lord was just showing me, using me. But what I'm saying is the Lord chastised me for those thoughts that I was having. And a lot of times when we think it, you know, we mess ourselves up in the mind because we start talking what we think. And if I would have talked it, I would have talked myself right out of a blessing. And it's like, wow. And now that I done went to the store and played with the little boy, saw the shoes, the Lord then gave me something for a message. And it's just like, wow. I feel like I'm good. I ain't got nothing. I'm good. I am good. Even if you don't get nothing out of this message, my message was we've already done what we needed to do for the day. And I'm good. I'm peaceful. I'm going to sleep good tonight knowing that I did what the Lord wanted me to do because it wasn't my will. And because I can be honest and be transparent and admit in my brain was a fight with the spirit. And just like my wife asked me last night, I didn't know any of this stuff that was going to transpire today from last night. And I'm telling her, you know, sometimes I even lean onto my own understanding. And sometimes I can do that. And I can be honest with everyone that's listening to me. You're going to have moments where you don't want to do nothing. But at the same time, just as much time you allow to have those thoughts, have enough time to have the Spirit talk to you as well and do what the Spirit is telling you to do, because sometimes it ain't going to be the traditional way of doing things. And I'm not doing anything traditional. Not unless the Lord tells me to. If the Lord tells me to do it, then I'll do it that way. But if the Lord don't tell me to do it that way, and most of the time the way the Lord works is he having me do things that people looking at me like I'm crazy. But at the end of the day, I have peace. At the end of the day, I'm leaning onto his ways, not my ways. And at the end of the day, I can look at my life and stop right where I am. I just celebrated 5-year anniversary, and I'm going to be honest with you. I'm in love more today than I was when I said I do. I'm not saying it wasn't hard to get to this point. I'm not saying there wasn't no battles or no close calls, but where we at today compared to where we were last year or the year before last, we have thousands of people listening to us too right now. And I know my wife gets freaked out by the number, but people listen to us. And because they listen to us, what we're doing, the Lord is rewarding us with things that we couldn't even comprehend that we could do. I told my wife the other day on our anniversary, you know, I'm just amazed that we're going on vacation and everything is taken care of ahead of time. Most of the time we go on vacation, it comes right down to the last minute, waiting on that last check.
For you, not for me. Let's make that clear. I'm a planner.
Right, I'm not. But the Lord is showing me certain things. So I am growing, and I am getting better. And it's not to brag. It's to show you. I'm not that type of person to plan things from beginning of the year to the end of it. If it happens, it happens. My wife got her plan calendar planned all the way to 2024, 2025, to be honest with you.
24, not
25. 24.
It's the Lord's will. Yes, I do have my calendar full.
I can't even think about what's going to happen this weekend, let alone that far in advance. But what I'm saying is, and I watch how my wife give, I watch how she serves, and the Lord has prepared her and opening doors for her to go places. If you don't come again, she has things going on within the ministry. And it is nothing that I can say, but this is nothing but God doing this. There's nothing but God doing this. We could have, if circumstances would have fell out right, done other things. It's not like we're not doing anything. It's just not our time. But the Lord is blessing us. And I just want everyone out there to know, and I'm going to shut up and I'm going to be done for the night, is to understand that when you're following the Lord's will, it's his will, not yours. It's his peace, not your peace. It's his understanding, not yours. So when you're trying to protect your peace, that's why your peace is so jacked up, because you're trying to protect it. He never instructed us that for you to protect your peace. I ain't going around them folks. I'm going to protect my peace. They ain't working my nerve. See, that's why you're not, that's why you're stressing, and you don't have no peace. And I believe the pastor said yesterday, you didn't give everyone a piece of your mind, you ain't got none left, because you're giving it away. The Lord never instructed for you to give your mind away, and he never instructed for you to protect your peace. That's his job. And the quicker I learn to stop doing the Lord's work and let him do his work and I do my work, things is going to add up, and I will be able to sleep peacefully every single night. I think I'm done for a while, wife. Go ahead.
I have two scriptures that I want to give. Romans 8:28. I'm sure everybody already knows that one. It says, and we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28.
Can I say that? Can you read that one more time? Because I want to show people something, and the Lord just gave it to me. Just read it one more time.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
See, that key word is love him. So just let me take another shot at the guys. If you love God, you're not going to cheat on God. I'm just going to leave it at that. If you love God, you're not going to cheat on him. You don't want no one cheating on you. So when you go out and do other things that you know that God don't love and don't like, you cheating on the Lord. And when you cheat on him, you can't love him. And I'm going to say this. How can you love your wife if you're cheating on your wife? See, now not everybody get quiet when you start talking like that. Cause, you know,
we all God love them a lot.
No, I hear it out there. I have that ear.
Out there in the atmosphere.
Yeah, they quiet because they don't want to agree with the love of if you love something, you won't cheat on it.
Hmm.
People cheat on it on a daily basis, and that's what I'm saying. So that scripture is, you know, if you love him and if you're committed to him and to him only. Not to all this other stuff. Because if you're committed
Amen.
To him, you're going to do what the Lord would tell you to do. And again, I'm on men today just for the simple reason is we ought to be the pillars. We ought to be the ones out here putting up the fight. We ought to be the ones out here serving, showing other young men how it's done. But we can't do it because we want to have affairs with different things. We want to have affairs with alcohol. We want to have affairs with other women. We want to have affairs with cars and money and work instead of having an affair with the Lord and doing about his business. I ain't saying you got to be Lord 24/7, but a good part of it ought to be with him. And that's where that scripture come in. And that's why a lot of people don't have no peace. They don't have anything because they're not in love with the Lord. And you can come and fake it and put the clothes on and shout and dance and run all around here all you want. If you're not loving him on Monday the way you were loving him and shouting on Sunday, you're not in love with him. And then you think about, wives, think about this with your husband. Husband, think about this with your wife. What would you do? How would you feel if your wife went out and cheated on you with another man or another woman? See, it really wouldn't matter if it was a man or a woman. The fact that they cheated on you, it will mess you up. Well, how do you think the Lord feels when he then woke you up, put you in your right state of mind, gave you the activity of your limbs, gave you some finance, gave you a job, and yet and still you can't be committed to him?
Can I add to that?
Go ahead.
So in addition to that, when you're in a relationship and you say you love this person, you're going to want to spend time with that person. You're going to want to do things with that person, and you all are going to, you know, share your time together. A lot of the times, okay, you're supposed to be in a relationship with the Lord, but you're not spending no time with him. You're not communicating with him. You're not setting aside time to just be with him. It's just you. So you have to get out of yourself, get out of your head, and do what you're supposed to be doing. And the last scripture that I wanted to give is Psalm 145:18. It says, "The Lord is near to all who call upon him, to all who call upon him in truth." Be real with the Lord. If you messed up, if you can't seem to get it right, be real with him. Call upon him. He's there. He's waiting on you to call upon him. He is there. He's patiently waiting. He's not going to turn a deaf ear to you if you're crying out to him. He's just not going to do it. He's not a God. He's not like man. You know, man, they make you get mad, and they got an attitude and for weeks, and they don't want to talk to you. And it's like, okay, that's not how God works. He doesn't work like us. And thank God for that. Thank him for his grace and mercy. And the last thing I wanted to say, a little bit ago, I just want to say it again. When you find yourself being anxious, fearful, doubtful, or angry, take note. Take note of that. Because you're leaning on yourself when you get caught up and you're in your head and like I said, in your feelings, you're leaning on yourself. A lot of the times you just got to let the Lord do what he's going to do and just let it be. let the Lord lead you and guide you. Lean not to your own understanding. So just wanted to come on here, ask you, have you been leaning? Because a lot of us, we've been leaning, and we need to, you know, straighten back out, let the Lord direct our path. And every day we have a choice. So just ask him to lead you and guide you in the choices that you make. As soon as you open your eyes, ask the Lord to lead and guide you. Before you put one foot out the bed, ask the Lord to lead you and guide you and order your steps on that day. That's the goal. That's all I wanted to say to my husband. I'm done.
Okay, well, you know, the fact that when we say you have to love the Lord, and again, people in relationships, if you're in a relationship, you ain't in a relationship. But me and my wife, and I'm just throwing this out there, we have to study together. And it ain't always, you know, huddled up studying like that. Some we get in some intense conversations when we study. And that's part of growing. That's part of showing her love for her Lord and my love for my Lord. Everything isn't going to always fly by, but we learn a lot because we have to bounce stuff off each other. And when you love the Lord, I hope you understand where I'm trying to come at this, because we're living in a day now that we are in darkness. And if you don't have that love obsessed with the Lord, you're going to get caught up in this darkness. And darkness cannot, in the darkness that we're about to face, a lot of this darkness is not going to comprehend the light, because the light is so jacked up. There's very few people out there with the light. And even though you can come to church and you can speak in tongues and you can run and dance and shout, all that's good. But if you ain't got the love of Christ in you that's leading you and guiding you, you're going to be messed up. You're going to be messed up. And I know a lot of people with that little boy walking around with them little shoes with the light on it. He was so happy he had the shoes with light on it. But if we as adults, we don't want to put nothing with light on it. If our shoes lit up, we ain't getting that. That's a little kid. Well, sometimes we got to look at the little kids because they want to be in the dark with the light. We as adults, we want to be in the dark with the dark, because we don't want no one seeing us with the light that's in the dark. And that's why you're hiding and you're pretending and you're trying to protect your peace. You're trying to lean into your own understanding, and you're just miserable. But the people that I like to surround myself, the people who like to let their light shine, you ain't got to have it all together. You ain't got to be perfect. You just got to let your light shine. We all going to fall. I'm going to fall. I fell today with the comments that I was thinking in my head because I didn't feel like going to get no groceries. And every man does this, have that conversation in the car about their wife when they're driving by themselves. At least I'm probably the only one. I'd be the only man enough to admit it. You know, she's sending me on this dummy run knowing I just got off work. I want to eat. I want to do this. And I'm just saying. I don't want people, I'm just being transparent. This is what goes on in your head when you're doing ministry. This is how the devil will creep in. And then if you say something that's like, boom, to my wife, then we're going to have a little disagreement. Or I could have made a phone call. I ain't got time to be doing all this. And it could be justifiable, right? But at the end of the day, when you do set your will aside, set your everything to and lean unto him.
Right, because it's not about us. It's about
right,
the Lord.
Exactly. But I also don't want to give the impression, I don't want to give the impression that Elder Oliver got it all the right all the time. He's just a great guy, because I'm not. Sometimes I got to have that conversation with myself, and the Lord has to chastise me, yeah, even me, to get me lined up right. And now when I sit back and I can look at the blessings, because I did it the Lord's way compared to my way, I probably would have got kicked out the house tonight. I had to call the pastor, need somewhere to stay. Now he worried about what. It's just the chain of reactions, all because I wanted to be lazy, or I wanted to do what Derek wanted to do. But the Lord has been too good to me, and we have to be careful. That's why I appreciate my wife, because 99.9% of the time, she's leading me in the right direction. And it's for the best for me and my spirit and my soul. And we can laugh about it, and we can joke about it, and we can move on. And I would like to think I do the same for her. And when we come on the air, like I said, 5 minutes before we come on the air, I'm not even in the house. I'm not even set up to come on the air because I'm out passing food out. And when I say that with joy. I say that with pride because I love doing the work of the Lord. Now, you probably heard me say, well, you said all this in your yeah, I did. I'm human. You're human. The thing about it is don't act upon your flesh. Allow a few minutes for the Spirit to lead and guide you so you can do what you got to do. Again, hopefully you enjoyed the message. I hope you enjoyed, got something out of it. It's a joy coming on every Monday. It's a privilege to be able to do this. Few things I don't, you know, like to do, but we've been doing this. I've been doing chaos since 2009. You know, I think that we're going on 14 years of being on the air. And it's a privilege. It's an honor. And for the people who sponsored me financially, the big businesses who, you know, look out for me when I need things, you know, it's a joy. And my wife can see it. And like I said, it's a joy. And we just want to thank all of those people who have supported us all the years, supported myself for the Chaos team. And as we begin to do more spiritual things and more uplifting things, you know, the Lord keep opening up other doors for us. And, you know, I'm excited about my little mini vacation going down here, seeing what they got set up for us. Also, extending arms, like I said, today was one of them days that came from nowhere. It was not planned, but we gave out food today. We fed a family today, and it was a blessing to be able to give without having to go through a whole bunch of change and loops. Went down to the church and went to the pantry that everyone that gave, you know, we was able to put in the box, and we was able to go to the grocery store and buy a few groceries that they needed. And we even got some you know, nice lunch meat, not lunch meat, I'm sorry, hamburger patties and stuff that, you know, that's quality stuff. And when I look at the box, this is something that we just not generic stuff. This is some well-named stuff that we're giving away. So, you know, I'm pretty proud about where we're at with extending arms. And I know the bishop is happy to know that, you know, we're still going out in the community, passing out whoever needs it, whoever calls us. We're just ready to roll. And, you know, we got to be ready. And I'm going to send a shout-out to everyone that's listening, you know, because this is a big ministry, and it's more than just me and the bishop and our families. That, you know, if you want to be more involved, if you know someone and you want to help pass out food, you have family members or friends, you're more than welcome to do it. You know, all you got to do is let my wife know, let me know, let bishop know. We can meet you down at the church. We'll work with you. And even if you want to add something to the table or bring something to, we're more than willing to listen. It's not just a few people that is trying to do this thing. You know, we're opening up to everybody. You just got to have enough love of Christ in you to step up, man up, woman up, and do the ministry. You know, it's not just us. We don't make the rules. You know what I'm saying? We don't. And I'm just sending that out there because, you know, me and my wife are going to be on vacation. So we're going to need someone to help us in case someone calls us. Can we, you know, these are the things I'm thinking about. And, you know, I know I ain't got to talk to the bishop about it. I ain't got to talk. We just need, if someone calls, are we able to get them some food? What happened to do a check, a whole, you know, we're not about that. Other churches are about that. We're not about that. If someone needs it, we're going to get it to them right then and there. because we're blessed. Extended Arms is blessed financially, and we are blessed. And should no one have to wait? If all of us is gone, someone else should be able to step up and say, this is what I want to do. We shouldn't have to beg or keep announcing stuff over this and over that. Do something. Serve the Lord. And when I say that, I hope I won't come off being hard, but I'm just saying, you cannot make excuses because there's too much ministry going around. There's too much ministry going around, and it's free. All you got to do is be a willing vessel to do it. And don't think that you're too big to be passing out food. Don't think you have arrived that you can't stoop to go help someone, give them some groceries. And that's all I'm going to say, because that's what Jesus did. He fed them with two pieces of catfish and some biscuits from Row House.
You made a catfish and biscuits from the Row House.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he fed 5,000 with it. Well, I'm just saying, you know, we have to be about our Father's business. And if we're going to lean on to him, he served. And we're in a point right now, and I said this, I'm going to say it again, and I swear, wife, I want you to take us out, especially to the men. I don't want to hear about the labor pain. Just deliver the baby. That's all I want. Because I can sit here and tell you about the pain, my feet, my hands, my eyes, the way I feel. I felt so sick, yeah, I didn't feel like even being in church. And it wasn't like a cold sickness. It was just an internal sickness that I was having. Head was pounding. My eyes was jumping. But I pressed on.
Amen.
Went to work the same way this morning. Came home, get a phone call. You got to go pass out. And this is where my brain was, where it was. But after I got here and I sat at my desk and I'm looking at my home and I'm looking at how the Lord has blessed me, well, what I got to complain about? If the Lord should carry to the first week of August, my two sons is getting baptized. And one of the things that I want my mother to see and hear, not that they're not saved, but they're going to have to give a mouth confession of being saved before they get baptized in the water. And that's going to be monumental for me. I already know they're saved, but it's going to be a monumental for them to have their dad in the water with them and to take them up. It meant something when my father baptized me. That's something that will never leave me. And I was like 12 years old when he baptized me. And he was blind at the time, so he didn't even know I was in the water until they told him who it was. So I ain't got nothing to be mad, angry, my peace shouldn't be disturbed, my stress level. And I'm not saying that we're not going to have bad moments. But at the end of the day, Lord is good. He is good. He is good. I ain't got no reason to complain. So, yeah, I apologize. Even though I didn't say nothing verbally to my wife, when I was in the car, I was saying a whole bunch of stuff.
Well, I'm glad you did.
But the Lord chastised me. During the moment. No, I'm just being, I think every married man has that moment where you just have a moment to yourself. You need it to yourself. You got to get it out of your system. And then when it gets out, the Lord can show you why you were wrong. And that's what it does. That's what a relationship with the Lord will do to you. So I don't want you to think that I'm perfect. I'm always gentle. I'm hard to get along with sometimes. I tell them, I ain't doing nothing. I'm relaxing. And I got to get up and go.
But then you kept doing it.
Right. You know, like I said before, this is why I think people enjoy listening to us, because we are real. And we about as real as we can get on here without getting in real trouble. But, again, you got to have a love fest. And if you have a love, if my wife was the only one loving the Lord and I wasn't loving the Lord, we would be unbalanced. And somebody's peace and understanding will be lacking. And you will feel it, because it will be like a heavy weight you're carrying. If you're not studying the Word together, I'm telling you, that's the best thing that will hold a relationship together, is that if you study and pray together. I've been doing this for like the last 2 months now. I get up every morning and I lay my hands, not in a sexual way, because I know some of y'all probably thinking like that, but I lay my hands on my wife's head and I pray before I leave out every morning so we both can have a great day. It works for me because I'll call my wife that I'm upset, I'm mad. I can talk to her and express myself without arguing. Tell her what made me mad, and it's so much better. It's just peaceful. But enough about us. We just celebrated 5 with our anniversary, and we're going on vacation. So I'm instilling that mode right now. Catch me next week. We may be going at it.
Okay, so next week we will be on the road returning home. Our goal is to, you know, be in the area on time. However, we're not in control of traffic. So are we guaranteeing next Monday? I just want to, you know, have people prepared.
Well, be prepared for something because we're going to have a story for you. We're going to have a story for you. Because I have a feeling one of these grandkids is going to do something to Mickey Mouse that I'm going to have to tell on the air.
Oh, my goodness. Anyway, well, I want to thank everybody for listening. Leave my grandbaby alone. Thank everybody for listening. We appreciate y'all.
You don't even see it coming. But, boy, Mickey going to get toe up.
Pray for my husband and his strength on this upcoming weekend. Pray for traveling mercies for us, that the Lord gets us where we need to be. Help us and let us enjoy ourselves, no hurt, harm, or danger, and return back safely. Husband, you want to close us out in prayer?
I thought I asked you to do that. But I can
sorry.
Do it, because, you know, I can
no
go. I can keep on
no,
going.
You
I close
no,
it.
You don't know how to stop. No, you don't know how to stop talking.
I know how to stop.
So,
I'm done. Everyone always say I'm long-winded, but I'm probably about to kill them.
How many times did you say that tonight? You said that so many times, so they know that you were not going to be done if I let you keep going.
All right, well, get a weekly announcement and let's go. I'm done. I'll be quiet.
All right, meet us right here at this same number tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for PTC Bible Study. You will not be disappointed. Come hear what the Lord is going to say through his people. Sunday morning, 9 a.m., PTC, right back at the same number as well as on Facebook Live. As far as the other schedules, husband, you're going to have to say, I don't know, you need to fill in the gap on the other schedule.
You just told me I was gone. Now you have me coming back on. See that? Okay. Tuesdays we have Praise Tabernacle Bible Study. Okay. Wednesday morning we have Vanessa and Brent break at 8 a.m. Wednesday night we have Elder Bazaar and Watchmen on the Wall. Thursday we had the Bluette family on at 7 p.m. Saturday we have Overseer Timothy Jackson on Saturday at 7 p.m. Now, we will be on vacation, so anything after Thursday, we'll try to have it on remote, but we're not going to promise anything, but turn it on. If we on, we on. If we ain't, just send me some more bad emails and pray for me. But we're going to try to have everything going because we're leaving Thursday night. So anything from Friday on, I'm not really 100% sure of, and I'm not sure if my engineers is going to be available to do the autopilot. So, yeah, so I'm just going to leave it at that right now. But that meeting has not been had yet, so we don't know. But if y'all want to pay my engineers to have them come on, then, you know, holler at a boy and I let y'all take care of them. They work for cheap, you know.
All right.
So,
thank you for the announcement, Jasmine. Thank you for those announcements. We appreciate it.
Hey, messing with me. They always messing with me. Won't no calling me cheap. I'm gonna call them cheap. You know.
We appreciate the announcement.
That's all
right,
Father. One other thing we forgot. We're going to be doing a baptism. Baptism. You forgot about the baptism on August the 7th. On August the 7th. That has been confirmed. We're going to be ready to roll August the 7th at 9 a.m. in the morning at, what's the name of the hotel?
Courtyard Marriott.
Courtyard Marriott. Right out there in Duluth, right there in Duluth. We're going to be there. It's going to be a great service. I'm telling you, you're going to want to see this. You're definitely going to want to see this. And that's it. That's all I got.
All right. Lord, we come to you this evening thanking you for allowing us to come together one more time. We ask that you continue to watch over everyone up under the sound of my voice. Not only touch them, but touch their families, Lord, and their extended families. Keep everyone safe and covered under your blood. Thank you for your guidance. Thank you for your protection. Lord, thank you for allowing us not to lean on our own understanding, but to acknowledge you and that you will direct our paths. We praise you and we honor you for that. And we've cast everything that at your feet and ask that your will continue to be done in our lives. It is in your Son's name that we praise you, we honor you, we glorify you. Amen.